Today's shiur is on Sefer Hamidot, one of the three Seferim Rabbein Azal wrote. This Sefer is also called Sefer Aleph Bet because the topics are selected according to the Aleph Bet. Rabbein Azal once said to his student, Rabbi Naftali Zal, that it was this Sefer from which I became a religious Jew. The words in this Sefer inspired me to become religious. Now from this Sefer we have selected a number of the most important sayings, that is most important to us, most pertinent, and they're very brief, but every one contains a powerful message. Again, these words are all derived from the Gemara and from other parts of the Torah, derivations which Rabbeinu Zal himself made, which we probably could not get. Some of these are written clearly in the Gemara. Others are derived from the words of the Gemara, but all have their makor, the origin, in the Torah. Rabbein Azal says, when we say Rabbein Azal says this time, we mean Rabbein Azal says this statement taken from where he derived it, from the Torah. Rabbein Azal says that a person who speaks truth, who himself is truthful, can always recognize in the second person whether that person speaks the truth or a lie. He could detect a liar just by looking at him, by listening to him, if he himself is a truthful person. Benel says that one who was a liar in the past Gilgul, he had the sin of lying, and when he comes back as a Gilgul now, he comes back as a left-handed person. He is lefty. This does not prove conclusively that every person who was left-handed was a liar before, but every person who was a liar before is left-handed now. Benel says that through the flies and mosquitoes in a person's house, you can recognize the ahava, the affection between husband and wife. Where there are many flies and mosquitoes in the house, this shows that there is a lack of ahava between husband and wife, or a shortage of it. And what is important about the ahava? Benzel states clearly, and of course this again we say is from the Torah, that where there is ahava, strong ahava between husband and wife, this is a definite sign that in that home the yetzer hara has been weakened or destroyed. Benel says that when you see something strange happen, never dare to say this is coincidence or this is an unusual occurrence. Always state the truth. This is a direct act by Hashem, supervised and acted on by Hashem himself. Benel says that if a person has pleasure, he derives pleasure from the words of an apikodis. He listens to the apikodis speak. Even though the apikodis at that time is not speaking any words of kefida, apikodis means one who's an atheist, does not believe in the Torah or Hashem. And even though this person, this apikodis, is speaking words that do not pertain to religion at all, if he has pleasure from these words that this apikodis is speaking, it could be about the weather, about sports, about food, or anything, if he has pleasure, then his punishment will be that he's going to have bad thoughts of Kefida himself, Chas v'Shalom. Rabbeinu Zal says Mashiach will come very, very suddenly. So suddenly, so surprisingly, that because of the sudden shock of Simcha, the happiness that will strike the Jews that is coming, they'll be filled with a fright, they'll be scared out of their wits because of the suddenness, but it'll be not a damaging type of fright, rather it'll be one of deep simcha, a happy, rejoicing, sudden shock of joy seeing Mashiach come. B'meheira b'yameinu. Benedal says that insomnia, that means not being able to sleep, is harmful to any person. Now, if a person cannot fall asleep, then there is a segula. Segula means a means of overcoming insomnia, something which assists a person in falling asleep. A person is lying on his bed, he cannot fall asleep. The etzah, the solution is that he should concentrate on emunah in techiyat ha-meitim, that he believes firmly in techiyat ha-meitim, the dead will come back to life, and this will help him to ease his mind into an untroubled sleep. Benedal says that a person should never worry about his children's parnasah, to have to provide for their future. Know that the children will be provided for from heaven. As they grow, their parnasa will come to them anyhow. A person should not worry, be concerned too much about the future parnasa of his children. Bilal says that if a daughter is born to a person as a first child, this assures him, guarantees that the Ayin Hara will have no power at all over his children. Bilal says that there are times when husband and wife are so strongly affectionate to each other that this, though it is good, it's a wonderful item, yet this can actually affect the wife, where she'll become impotent. She will not be able to give birth because of a deep ahava. This can actually stop her from giving birth. This is not a general rule. Benel says, Befedush, at times this may happen. Benel says that a home or a house where no one lives, uninhabited house, persons should be careful not to enter into that house because of the possibility of evil spirits or mazikim. Persons should not show courage or bravery entering this house. It's a foolhardiness. This generally is taken to mean outside of a city. But even in a city too, obviously a person should take precautions and observe this warning. Benedel says that to serve Hashem, if a person has a choice between living on a lower level, a lower floor, a ground floor, or an upper floor, it is definitely more beneficial for a person to live on the top floor in serving Hashem than on a lower floor. Not that he is closer to heaven, but that there is a definite advantage of being over, above the bottom floor in Avodat Hashem. Benedel says that for the sake of good fortune in moving to a new home, in order to assure good fortune, and the first thing a person should bring into his new home or new apartment is a knife. That should be the first thing, a knife or a sword. This will help him to bring beracha, blessing, to the new home. Benedel says that if a person is forced because of financial need, he is forced to borrow, and in borrowing he has to put up security, an item as security, then it is known that since he is forced to use this item as security for the sake of borrowing, it is certain that in the past Gilgul this person had abused this item he's putting up for security. In abusing it, he's paying for it now by having to resort to this item as security in order to obtain this loan. Benedel says it is a mitzvah to publicize the names of Nishaim, not to keep them secret. The interpretation of the word Nishaim, of course, is a very delicate one. That's a topic in itself. Where it is definite that the person is an Asher, it's a mitzvah to spread the word about him that he is such, not to keep it a secret. Benedel says that one who is accustomed to telling good news, he hears good news and goes about telling it to others, that person will be blessed, that he will never have his feet, will never give him any trouble, never have any pains in his legs. Benedel says that praying to Hashem in it borudut, and certainly a person can pour out his heart more to Hashem if he cries. But at times it's very difficult to bring tears to one's eyes, to bring himself to cry. He's just not in the mood for it. So a help for this is if he should look up at the sky. Looking up at the sky will help to bring tears to his eyes, will help him to get to a point of crying. Because the first tears that ever came about, the first crying that ever took place, was the crying of the waters. When Hashem created the heavens, the sky, the Pasuk says Hashem made the sky that divided the upper waters and the lower waters. And the lower waters cried to Hashem, why should we be lower now, further away from Hashem? Hashem consoled the waters below by saying, you will be used as part of the Korban on the Mizbeach. We'll be pouring the Nisuch HaMayim, pouring waters on the Mizbeach. But the sky caused the waters to cry, therefore a person who wants to be able to cry should look up at the sky and he'll be able to be helped through this to reach a point of crying. At the same time too, Rabbi Nadal says if a person feels ge'avah, a surge of ge'avah for any reason, he wants to rid himself of it, look at the sky, this will help to reach a degree of shiflut, of more anivut. And if a person suddenly falls into gadlut, it's conceit, haughtiness, the etzah, the advice for that is to picture in his mind a face of his father. This will help to make void the ge'avah. Benedel says that one who takes part, not that he steals, but he takes part in the profits of theft, the end will always be that his act will become revealed, will be brought to shame for this act. Benedel says, generally, he who is physically strong lacks superiority in brains. Strength means that there is a shortage of brains to a degree. The stronger the person, the less depth and wisdom he has. This, of course, is general. There are naturally exceptions. Benedel says a person who walks and takes big steps, and taking a big step, it spoils the concentration of the mind. His mind cannot concentrate. If one wants to concentrate, just take small steps. Benedel says that at times a person dies very suddenly, very sudden death, because he is literally frightened to death. He is frightened suddenly, his heart stops and he dies. Or a person dies for some other reason very suddenly. Benedel warns, you must believe implicitly that this was not sudden and untimely. This was the exact moment of this person's fated death. This was the exact spot where he was supposed to die. Wherever he died suddenly, at that moment, he was fated to die at that moment and at that place. Therefore, every din, every harsh judgment that's decreed from heaven upon a person is decreed to hit that person only at a certain place, at exactly a certain place. So if a person feels potential harsh decree coming upon him, he should change his place, move to a different place, he'll be saved. There are stories in the Gemara reference to this. The general statement is that shini makom, just like changing a person's name helps to avoid a decree, so too changing a place. Benedel says that if a person walks along and falls suddenly, then it's at times the reason is that there was a gezeira from heaven that he should die. And because of the fact that he slipped and fell, this nullified the decree from heaven. His life was saved through this fall. Benedel says that in general, decree means din. There is din, harshness in heaven against the person. When we speak about hamtakat dinin, the mamtik din means to sweeten this harshness, or to change this din to rachamim, to kindness. Now, every person throughout his life has chas v'shalom dinin, and the point is to concentrate with all efforts to change this to pity and kindness. One of the items that a person can do to bimamtik this din is, when he goes to the mikveh, to stay under the water as long as he can, to the point where he cannot hold his breath any longer. By doing that, he nullifies, he sweetens the dinim in heaven against him. Benedel says that when a person hears his friend tell him about his troubles, he should listen very closely and take into mind deeply the cause of these troubles, because this is meant as a message to himself. He should avoid falling into the same pitfall, these same problems. Benedel says that when a person has a problem, and he can solve the problem with money, he should not resort to tefillah. He shouldn't pray to Hashem, help me out of this problem, when he can save himself through money. Meaning he should not, kaviyachol, should not bother, place a burden upon heaven to help him, when he can help himself simply by the assistance of funds, which he has, of course. Unless a person doesn't have the money, then he has to resort to heaven. But if he has the money to resolve this problem himself, he should not resort to tefillah. Benedel says again, that there is such a thing as changing din, harshness, to rachamim, to kindness. There's also a case where a person himself arouses dinim in heaven against himself. One item that definitely arouses dinim against the person is one who raises a dog in his house. One who keeps a dog in his home should know that he is bringing dinim from heaven upon himself. This is aside from the din the Torah tells us that one who keeps a bad dog in his house is breaking a law in the Torah. Aside from this, in general, just keeping a dog in his house, unless the dog is there for definite protection, or he lives in a farm out of town where he needs his protection, just to keep a dog for the sake of keeping a dog, this is something that arouses din chas v'shalom. Ben Adal says it is not good, certainly not advisable, for two people to live in the same house, in the same apartment house, for example, if both have exactly the same name. It is not good luck for two people with the same names to live in the same building. Ben Adal says that, again, to nullify these dinim, for one thing, and also, dinim can come through goyim. When the goyim attack Jews, chas v'shalom, or attack them legally, go to court. By going to court against goyim on trial, in a court of goyim, and the person would like to win out in this court trial against the goyim, Ben Adal says that a means of winning out is by reading in the Chumash, in Parashat Pinchas, the parashah which deals with the Jewish holidays of the year. To read that first, this will help him to succeed in winning this case against the goyim. Ben Adal says that one who puts on the girdle, the belt of a tzaddik, that helps to destroy, to erase bad thoughts. Ben Adal says, one who divorces his wife, regardless of what reason it is, even when it is legal according to the Gemara, that person will definitely never have any hatzlacha, any future luck in his life, because this means he is cutting off half of his neshama. Person's neshama is divided in two. When he cuts off half his neshama by divorcing his wife, he is assured never to have any mazal, any hatzlacha in the future. Ben Adal says that some women find difficulty in becoming pregnant. Now, a segula. Segula again means a means that would help. A secret means of helping is two things. One, that a woman should carry a magnet, a small magnet, with her at all times. And secondly, to go to a brit milah, and after the brit milah, to look at the blood on the knife that the mohel used. These will help women to become pregnant. Now again, segula means these are heavenly reasons for it, but the reasons are found in the Torah. The origin is from the Torah. Ben Adal says there are times when a tzaddik struggles very hard to reach a certain deep item of wisdom, and after a long struggle he finally achieves this. And then later on, a second person who is very small in comparison very easily reaches the same thought, the same height of wisdom. The reason is that the tzaddik himself broke through the door, the gate. He opened the gate so that others can come through very easily to achieve this deep thought. Ben Adal says when he speaks about a shiduch, a match between a boy and a girl, trying to match up two people, if it is completed, it results in a wedding. If not, it results in nothing. Ben Adal says, though, that even when it results in nothing seemingly, the fact that they spoke, they discussed matching up these two, this boy and girl, it leaves a deep impression upon both of them. There is something there too. This was from heaven. It was like a mating from heaven to a small degree. Not to a point of actually getting married, but at least there is some mating between the neshamot to a small degree. Ben Adal says that when a person speaks to his friend about Yirat Shemayim, fear of Hashem, he tries to instill fear of Hashem in him, no matter what words he uses, if he's not learned, he just speaks from the heart, the words he speaks, he should know, are being written down in heaven, and there is a sefer formed from his words. He is now the author of a sefer. That is a sefer kept in heaven, the words he used to instill Yirat Shemayim in the second person. Ben Adal says if a person suffers with his eyes, pains in the eyes or other types of eye suffering, the segula again is, the fu'ah, is to look, to stare at an etrog. Staring at an etrog is a cure for any pains or sickness in the eyes. Ben Adal says that the government, even though it is a government of goyim, who worship idols, there's still an obligation on the part of a person to respect that government, because the law is that the government must be respected. Unless, of course, they are anti-Semitic, openly. They hurt the Jews, Chas v'Shalom. But aside from that, no matter what government it is, even idol worshippers deserve, earn respect, since they are the ruling power. Benedict says the study of Torah is so holy and so good, even if a person is half dozing while studying Torah, he shouldn't say that it's disgraceful or it's worthless. It's still good. It's still better than not studying Torah at all, even if he's half asleep while studying. Benedict says that a person who learns Torah in this world and his mind is not deep enough to grasp the full meaning of the words he is learning, he should know that whatever he studied here and doesn't understand, he will understand fully the complete truth of those words in Olam Haba. So a person should learn here, though he doesn't understand fully, he will understand everything where it counts in Gan Eden. Benedict says that there is a very vast difference between hearing words of Torah from the rabbi himself compared to hearing it told secondhand from a second party. There's a difference in remembering it and a difference in understanding it. Secondly, it is a great help to a person in understanding the learning and for remembering too, to see the mouth of the rabbi who speaks when the words of Torah are being said. Benedict says it is forbidden to teach a rasha any chidush, an unusual item of wisdom from Torah. It is a sin to teach it to a rasha. Benedict says too that the word apikodes, which means a kofer, one who disbelieves, this is applied to a person who reads the books written by apikodesim, by kofrim. Though he himself has complete faith, that he reads those books, just read them alone, this person can be called, is called an apikodes too. And of course, these words are quoted from Rabbi Akiva. In the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva says the statement. Benedict says that a sefer, that means a holy sefer, which a rasha learned from that sefer, those letters in that sefer now become contaminated. So that a person reading that sefer could receive, instead of good, he can receive the thoughts of that rasha, and it can do him harm, Chas v'Shalom. Benedict says that the study of Torah lesson the person goes to, on which he spends money, he goes to a shiur, and it costs him money to attend, compared to one where he listens to it free. The difference is, the one he listens to it free, he will very easily forget that which he learned. The one for which he pays, that will not be forgotten, that will remain embedded in his memory to a much higher degree than the other. Benedict says a person who is suffering his sense of hearing, his ears, he wants a cure for hearing, then the cure for that is to get up early in the morning and study Torah. This is the cure for any ailment of the sense of hearing. Now again, this is a segula. Segula means something which the Torah tells us we might not see the connection between this segula and what it affects. But since the Torah says this, then we know this is definitely true, actually. Benedict says, Lashon Hara, as we know, is possibly the worst type of sin in existence. Yet, it is permissible, definitely, to speak Lashon Hara against a person who is a Baal Machloket, one who argues battles against people of Torah, against religious people, one who causes Machloket, arguments, fights. You may speak Lashon Hara against such a person. Benedict says it is advisable very strongly not to live in a house where a rasha lives. This is understood too. He said a bad neighbor, why don't you stay away from him? Benedict says it is better to kill a rasha or a kofer, kill him with one's hands physically, better than to pray Hashem that this person should die. It is so strongly forbidden to pray for a person to die that it's better to actually kill him. The implication is understood. Nobody's going to kill anyone, but we can understand now how much a person should not pray for somebody else to die. Benedict says that if a Hashem speaks the truth, that it is permissible for a person to refute him, not to accept his words of truth, to argue against him, even though you're arguing against the truth, in order that people listening will shy away from this Rasha. You argue against him, you say his words are worthless, they will not listen to his words of truth, but they will also not listen to his words of evil later. So it's permissible to argue against truth if these words of truth are spoken by Rasha. Peninel says, when Hashem sees a tzaddik working hard to bring people close to Hashem, close to religion, Hashem deliberately causes enemies to rise up against this tzaddik, because without having enemies, the person can never influence people to become religious, to come close to Hashem. Proof is that when Mashiach comes, there'll be no battles and no enemies. And the Gemara says very clearly, when Mashiach comes, there'll be no more chance for Goyim to convert. Those far from Hashem, far from religion, cannot come close in the time of Mashiach, because there'll be no battles, no enemies. Only when a person has enemies, then can he affect, influence people to become religious, have Yirat Shemayim, come close to Hashem. Peninel says, when a person feels an itch, bite, insect bite or an itch, he should know that he has enemies. And through the wounds that he has because of scratching it, through this he is saved. What he might have suffered at the hands of the enemies, he is saved by that's being exchanged for the suffering he has now by this wound caused by the scratching of this itch. Peninel says that the reason the Goyim have the power to steal from the Jews, after all, the Jews are chosen people of Hashem. They are holier, they are higher. Where did the Goyim get the power to steal, to plunder, to rob from the Jews? Only through the fact that the Goyim learn Tanakh, Torah, which means the Bible. The fact they learn the Bible instills in them the power to be able to steal from the Jews. If not for that, they could never overpower Jews from any manner. Peninel says it is permissible for a person or a rabbi to push aside a person with both hands, push him away, if he refuses to accept Musar. Instead of trying to bring him close, he may drive him, repel him completely if this person refuses to accept Musar. Peninel says that we say that Maaser, giving one-tenth, is a segula, that's a help for a person's becoming wealthy. This is a guarantee only in Eretz Yisrael. This may work outside of Eretz Yisrael also, but it is certain in Eretz Yisrael. Naturally, giving charity in general brings wealth to a person, it brings beracha and blessing. But then it should be an actual guarantee for segula, for wealth, this is only in Eretz Yisrael. Many of us, there are times when a person must pray for a sick person, a person who is very ill. The person is very ill, you have to pray for that person's refuah. But there are times, actually, when a person must pray for a sick person to die. That person suffering such pains, going through so much torment, torture, the last days or moments of his life, when it is obvious the person is dying, the person should not pray for him to live, but if rather he may pray for him to die, which is a very unusual item in the Chidush. This, of course, is Badan in the Gemara and the Darim. And this is taken from the Gemara in Ketubot, where Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Yudan Asi, when he was ill, the day of his passing, Rabbeinu HaKadosh's maid prayed he should pass away when she saw he was suffering. And the heavens accepted her prayer over the prayers of the rabbis. We see that it's permissible to pray for a person to die at times. Peninel says that a person should always hold on to that land or that item which he inherited from his father. Never sell it or exchange it. Because there's a direct connection spiritually too. Never release ownership of that which he inherited from his father. Peninel says that too much sleep has another side effect, a bad side effect. Too much sleep causes a person to become poor. It brings about the poverty. Peninel says if a person had a troubled sleep, a sleep which was filled with nightmares, he was frightened in his sleep, this is a sign that he should not go out on the road the next day, do not go traveling the next day. Peninel says if you want advice, turn to a man for advice, and not a woman. Bezalel says a person who agrees with Goyim because he wants to appease them, then he will eventually fall into their hands. He'll suffer through them. What a person should do is, whatever they say, disagree with them, disprove their words. Bezalel says it's a mitzvah to give musar, to speak, to try to influence a person to becoming religious if he is not. Bezalel warns, do not try to speak musar or influence a Jew who has chas v'shalom converted to a goy. It definitely will not help. You will not accomplish. Bezalel says it is compulsory, without exception, every single person in the world, when it comes to minhag, custom, every person must accept and follow the custom, the minhag, aside from the naturally the minhag that he has received or heard from his own rabbi. It's the only custom every person in the world should follow. Bezalel says that a person in a generation who is famous as a chief rabbi, then you must call him rabbi, even if you are greater than him. You may know how to learn more than him, you're a bigger rabbi than him, but still, that bigger rabbi will still call this famous chief rabbi by the title rabbi. Bezalel says that a tzaddik with a word, one word, can decree for any person Gan Eden or Gehinom. He has this power. A person should spend a lot of time, Bezalel says a lot of time, you spend a year or more in trying to get close to a tzaddik, even if they'll be with him for only 1 hour. It's worth spending a long period of time to reach a tzaddik, to be with him only for a short period of time. Again, it's certainly worth the investment. And those who are close to a tzaddik during his lifetime, those will be close to tzaddik after his passing. Bezalel says in this world, a person who wants to come close to a tzaddik can do it at will. Choice is free. But in Olam Haba, everyone knows the truth that they want to come close to the tzaddik. There it's impossible. Only those who came close to the tzaddik during a lifetime in this world will have the right in Olam Haba to come close to the tzaddik there. They come really close. Bezalel says that by doing a small favor, even the tiniest favor, to a tzaddik, sometimes a person can get Olam Haba just for that one single item. There are many stories to illustrate this, but this is a definite fact. Speaking, of course, about a tzaddik, Bezalel says that when a person receives a bracha, when he asks for, receives a bracha, he must stand. In order for the bracha to take effect, he must be standing at the time of the bracha. Bezalel says that by providing parnassah for a tzaddik, for a great rabbi, giving him money for food, through this, a person can have every one of his sins forgiven. Now, if that sounds strange, the Bezalel says we find it very simply, clearly, in the Torah. The Torah says that a person commits a sin, he brings a korban chatat, korban of sin. What happens to that korban? The rabbi or the kohen eats from the meat of that korban. The kohen eats the meat, he has food. The Yisrael, the Jew who committed the sin, doesn't eat the meat. What does he get? He gets a kapara. So the rabbi, the kohen, eats, and the person who brought that food to him gets the kapara. Bezalel says a person should guard his mouth very carefully from saying words like, I will commit this and this sin, even though he's saying it for a joke. Because by letting these words out of his mouth, they will force him, chas v'shalom, to go into action and commit that sin. A person must guard his tongue never to say he's going to commit a type of a sin. When any suffering comes to the world, each person should say, it's my fault, partially. I must do teshuvah so that the suffering will be removed. Bezalel says if a person wants to do teshuvah, and every person wants to and must, in order to succeed, he must be very, very careful to avoid having any money debts whatsoever. Not to owe anybody money, and this way he'll be successful in doing teshuvah. Bezalel says that in serving Hashem, one day when he is young is more effective and stronger than many years when he is old. Time to put his efforts, concentrate in serving Hashem is when he is young, especially. Bezalel says it is impossible for a person to know during his lifetime if his teshuvah was accepted. Eidel says it is better to perform a mitzvah partially rather than leave it go completely. And Eidel says his famous words, Tikkun HaGuf Kodem LeTikkun HaNefesh. A person has to perfect his body, he is ill, or he has to perfect his soul because his soul is ill, then he must first perfect the body, first receive a physical cure, and then worry about the spiritual cure. First, the physical cure. Benedel says that the tefillah of a stranger, of a second person, helps more than a person's own tefillah. The person himself is sick. He prays for a cure. Even if he's a tzaddik, his tefillah for himself is not as strong as another person praying for him. Once tefillah for himself cannot be as effective as having somebody else pray for you. So a person should always ask others to pray for him. It will help much more. Binyanel says that the covering of the nishana is the guf. The covering of the guf, the body, are the garments, the clothes. The garments, the Gemara says, are called the kavod, the respect, the honor of a person. At all times, a person should go dressed nicely, and especially the Binyanel says that one appears before the king. One goes into Sully. Pray, whether it's Shabbat or during the week, any time, a person should be very careful to come dressed properly, nice clothes, at the time of prayer. Then he is assured that he comes respectfully with kavod, his prayers will be accepted.